You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aaron Layton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. Follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Amperio of Chavez Ravine Themes, here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, the winning streak is over.
Yeah, and it almost wasn't, and it looked like it was going to be, and then it looked like it wasn't going to be, and then it really looked like it wasn't going to be, and then it looked like it was going to be, then it looked like it might not be, and then it was. And all in all, at the end of the day, it's like, well, that sucked.
Yeah, it sucked. The Giants had actually lost. The Dodgers would have been half a game ahead of them for first place for the first time since April had they won. But they'll just have to wait to do it later this week, maybe even today. We're going to talk about the lineup in yesterday's game. We're going to talk about some of the decisions made in yesterday's game, and then talk about the running game against the Dodgers. But before all that, a quick reminder to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff, so the lineup came out yesterday, and it was interesting that Max Muncy, Cody Bellinger, and Mookie Betts were all out of the lineup on the same day. They were facing a left-handed pitcher, so Bellinger maybe makes sense if he needs a day, but to add in Muncy and Mookie, it was a little bit interesting, and maybe a bit of a heat check by Dave Roberts. I'm not sure.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, they did, you know, I can see both ways, because they did have to play two games within about 14 hours on Saturday and Sunday. But then that also meant they had, you know, all Sunday afternoon and evening off. And so it was like a day and a half off after that. But maybe it was just kind of sometimes, you know, he'll give somebody a day off the day before an actual off day to get them 2 days. Maybe this is trying to piggyback on the day and a half that they had since the last game of the Nats series to, you know, get a little extended rest. All three of them ended up in the game. It was kind of, at one point during the game, they sent Austin Barnes up as a pinch hitter. And you kind of think, okay, well, you know, you want a right-handed pinch hitter here against a left-handed pitcher. I think at that point it was that Okert guy. And so it made sense for it to either be, you know, Barnes or Mookie or, I guess, Muncy, who definitely can hit lefties. But when they sent Barnes up, you thought, well, maybe he really is trying to give everybody the day off, or he's just waiting for a bigger spot. And they got that bigger spot in the top of the eighth inning and were able to deploy all three of those guys in pinch hitting roles, and it almost worked. And so, yeah, it was really interesting to see the lineup. But all in all, when you're going to have Mookie and Belly and Betts on the bench available to pinch hit, that offsets some of the damage of not having them getting four at-bats, because you can pick your spots.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about how they were deployed in pinch hitting. But it's one of those things where the Dodgers can sit two All-Stars and a former MVP, and you still expect them to win. Not many teams can have that luxury. And it's one of those games where with Walker Buehler on the mound, you were expecting them, you know, to win the game and keep the streak going, especially against the Marlins, who struggled a little bit, even against their best starter, who, you know, was a non-factor after five innings. He came out of the game. They got two runs off him early in the game, and then, you know, they got him out pitch count-wise. They got into a bullpen that Marlins bullpen that was lesser arms, because I believe they used the other arms heavily over the weekend. So they had all the chances there to do it, and they just couldn't pull it out. And it's one of those where if you win the bullpen game like they did on Sunday, or even some of the other games they won over this weekend, it all kind of balances out. And this was one where it just didn't end up working out.
Yeah, and like you said, it almost did. Cody Bellinger's game-tying sac fly was very nearly a go-way-ahead grand slam. it basically at the wall. It was caught. I think you and I were both watching on TV and willing Starling Marte to just keep running, run into the wall, just keep going. And then he stopped and put his glove up. And shades of 2017 World Series game two, Thicke-Belly had gotten it and he just didn't quite.
Yeah, we actually got a question on that from FLP3 asking, how many stadiums is the Cody shot a bomb in? I don't know if you looked that up exactly, but it's at least for what it was, 386 right there in left center. It's probably out at Dodger Stadium and probably out at a few stadiums.
Yeah, it's they quote that stuff on the broadcast sometimes, and I haven't been able to find where you get that number of this ball hit to this exact spot at this distance would be gone in X number of stadiums. I don't know if that data is public or not. If it is, I've never been able to find it. But we do know, exit velocity, expected batting average, all that. It was 104.2 off the bat, 37-degree launch angle. It's kind of in the sweet spot where you have a decent chance, but the expected batting average on that one was actually only 470. When you're hitting something at 37 degrees, the hang time on that, that's probably somewhere, but I don't have that right now. That thing was in the air for a long time, so I doubt many people are getting many doubles or triples on that ball. So I would guess that, of the 47% of the time that is a hit, I would guess that pretty much all of that is home runs. So my best guess is that about 47% of the time, that's a home run. That doesn't quite answer the question of how many different stadiums, but, that's factoring in all balls hit like that 47% of the time, they're home run or, hits and probably home runs. So it's somewhere in that ballpark. About half the stadiums, it's probably a home run.
Man, you saw Cody after the bat. He was very shocked that it didn't go out. And I probably played a factor that it was indoors. There was nothing to try and carry it out. At least if there could have been maybe some wind and in any other stadium that's open or a different type of air, whatever the case would is. But it didn't go out. The Dodgers ended up getting the one run off of that specific hit. Victor Gonzalez gave up the home run. He didn't pitch terribly. He just gave up the one home run to Alfaro. Scott Alexander is back on the roster. They sent down Garrett Clevenger. He pitched a scoreless inning. I don't know, Jeff, what are you thinking about with Scott Alexander? You think he's going to be decent? You think we're going to see Clevenger back soon? I don't know what to expect from him.
I have hopes for Alexander. I always do. He has good stuff. He's got that really heavy sink. He throws pretty hard. When he has command, he's actually pretty darn good. And last year we saw even against right-handers, he was pretty good a lot of the time. And so, I don't know what to expect from him, but I'm hopeful, I guess. I think we've seen enough good versions of Scotty in the past that I think there's a decent chance he's going to be okay. For me, the big thing was they got through the game without, basically Victor Gonzalez was the only thing approaching a high-leverage reliever right now on their roster that they had to use. And so they were able to reset the rest of the bullpen. It would have been nice to get a win while resetting the rest of the bullpen. After all the heavy bullpen usage this weekend in D.C., it was nice to get breaks for most of their relievers.
Yeah, definitely. And then Dave Roberts did confirm another bullpen game before the All-Star break. I think he moved it up a day. Probably a smart thing to do. Other than that, yeah, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some of the decisions that were made in the game that maybe we didn't agree with, or maybe we needed more questions or more answers from Dave Roberts about. So make sure you keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why wait for the person behind the counter to order the parts from their computer when you can order the parts from your own computer from the luxury of your home? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend sometimes 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership when you can just get it from Rock Auto and send directly to your home? Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. It doesn't matter if you are a do-it-yourselfer or a mechanic. All the prices are the same right there. So go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution for your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Okay, Jeff, we are back. And as we mentioned and alluded to in the first segment, there were some decisions that were interesting from Dave Roberts because of the fact that they had Muncy and Bellinger and Mookie coming off the bench. I'm going to start off with the one that I had thought about that I didn't see talked about too much, and that is bringing in Bellinger at that time to pinch hit for McKinstry. I know he wanted to maybe line up the ducks in a row and get the three guys in there, but McKinstry is enough of a solid hitter with bases loaded that I believe he's going to make contact. I believe he would have drove in maybe the same amount of runs, and maybe you can get Bellinger in a different at-bat. I don't know what you thought about that.
Yeah, it was an interesting decision. It was Belly, and then they used Mookie to pinch hit for the pitcher right after, right?
Yeah.
So they
yeah.
still had Bellinger and Mookie available at that point. I get, you know, when you've got bases loaded and nobody out, you're down by one run. I mean, honestly, if there wasn't a lineup in place and you asked the manager, okay, you have bases loaded, nobody out, you're down by one, do you want McKinstry or Bellinger or Mookie to hit in this spot? McKinstry will be your third choice, you know? But, you know, there was a lineup in place, and so by using him there, you're taking McKinstry out of the game. But I think it probably just came down to that. When you're in the eighth inning, you know that chances are you're taking McKinstry out of the game anyway, just because once you've put those guys in, you're going to go with your best defensive lineup, and that doesn't currently include McKinstry. And so McKinstry's coming out of the game anyway. And so I think it made sense. It's one of those decisions that I don't know if there's a right or wrong, but I think if you look at it from that mindset of clean slate, there's no existing lineup, you've got these three options right now for bases loaded, nobody out, down by one, and Bellinger probably would have been my first choice in that situation.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that there, just for the fact of Bellinger's not quite there yet to where I'm fully confident in him. But either way, the other part is that, you know, the other decision that we were going to talk about is pinch running Matt Beatty for Albert Pujols in that spot. And then talking before this, you had mentioned that they could have used Beatty for Pollock. The other part is they could have used Bellinger in that spot where Pollock came up. That wasn't guaranteed to come up that inning in that situation with bases still loaded. But it also could have helped out if Bellinger was batting instead of Pollock.
It could have, but I'd go so far, not even just it wasn't guaranteed, I don't think it was likely at all to get to Pollock with bases loaded and still in a tie game. When you've got bases loaded, down by one, nobody out, and knowing that you have Bellinger, Mookie, and Taylor, your next three hitters, I don't think it's super likely that you get to bases loaded, two outs, tie game, Pollock coming up. Obviously, it's a possibility, but I definitely don't like the idea of saving a guy like Bellinger for a possible at-bat four batters from now. The other thing that I was going to mention of hitting him for McKinstry is one thing that we have seen from Bellinger since he came back is command of the strike zone for the most part. And with the struggle that the Marlins pitchers were having throwing strikes, I think that was probably another factor of who to send up right there. I think McKinstry was the most likely to chase out of the zone out of the three hitters, Belly, Mookie, and McKinstry. And so I think you could quibble between Belly and Mookie, but I think no matter all the different reasons I think about it, it seems like it makes sense to not send McKinstry up right there. Even though, yeah, it did end up biting him a little bit when they had to have AJ Pollock flail at three sliders from a right-handed pitcher again. But I also don't know that Roberts would have pinch hit for Pollock in that situation. I guess if he had Bellinger, he probably would have. If Beatty was still available, and that's probably the next thing we'll talk about, I don't know that he would have used him to hit for Pollock anyway.
Yeah. That's kind of the one we had talked about. And I don't think we had any other ones, but we did have a question from our buddy Frank from, I don't know if it's defunct, but the Let's Be Frank podcast. He wanted to know, Jeff, if you have any tactical in-game Dave Roberts decisions that you can disagree with. I don't know if you meant ever or in this game specifically, but I know you had a response.
Yeah, Frank meant ever. The problem with Frank is that he and I have had this conversation, and he just didn't like the answer, and so he keeps pretending that I haven't answered it. So I'm going to go ahead and answer it here, and it will be on audio forever, so I can just say, hey, look at July 6th, 2021's episode of Locked On Dodgers for my answer, you jerk. I kid Frank because I love him, but also he's kind of a jerk. Yeah, sometimes I do disagree with Dave Roberts' decisions, but what I do believe in is it's called humility and accepting the fact that I might not know everything. And even accepting the fact that Dave Roberts, the guy who is making the lineups and there in the stadium, might know a little bit more about the individual circumstances of the players on the team than I do. You know, the one other thing in tonight's game was using, you know, pinch running for Pujols with Beatty, and maybe should have used Gonsolin again so that Beatty still would have been available. I assume that had to do with the fact that Gonsolin's pitching tomorrow, and you don't necessarily want to risk him hurting himself on the bases, especially when you already have a bullpen game scheduled for a couple days from now. So, you know, for me, it really boils down to I just don't think there are that many right or wrong answers for managerial decisions, that at least that actually come up in real games. You know, the two decisions I can think of in the past that I definitely disagreed with Dave Roberts at the time, and they both happened to blow up, and I was right, were Clayton Kershaw, Game 5 of the 2019 NLDS, and taking out Pedro Baez to bring in Alex Wood in, was that Game 2 of the 2018 World Series, and then the Red Sox pinch hit for Devers with Nunez, and I definitely would have stuck with Pedro Baez there. Those ones I think were probably more like the 80-20 decision, and Roberts went with the decision that had a 20% chance of working instead of 80%. But for the most part, I really do think most managerial decisions are like 55-45 decisions, and I think Roberts is usually pretty good at going the 55 route, but the nature of those decisions, like I've said before, is that even if you make the right, quote unquote, right choice in that situation, 45% of the time, it's not going to work. And that means people are going to say you made the wrong decision. And that's just not the way the world works. Statistically speaking, you know, I'm 100% right 90% of the time, you know, things just go wrong sometimes. And it's not the manager's fault. It's not even the player's fault sometimes. You know, sometimes the pitcher just wins. Sometimes, you know, in that the home run that Alfaro hit, you know, Gonzalez threw a bad pitch, but a lot of times pitchers throw bad pitches and the hitter fouls them off. You know, this time Gonzalez threw a bad pitch, Alfaro made a good hit, and, you know, it happened. And so, you know, it's just like that with managerial decisions. Most of the time you do your best. And so it's so easy to second guess, man, if they had Beatty available to pinch hit for Pollock, then Pollock doesn't swing and miss at three straight sliders from the right-hander. You know, that's assuming that Roberts would have used Beatty to pinch hit for Pollock anyway, whereas Pollock's actual splits this year are actually pretty close. He's not that much worse against right-handers than lefties this year. I don't know that Roberts would have pinch hit for him anyway. And it just comes down to, you know, pinch running for Albert Pujols is basically always the right decision. It's just a matter of who you're going to use. Are you going to use a pitcher, or are you going to use Matt Beatty? And, you know, maybe they could have used one of the relief pitchers who wasn't available anyway. Joe Kelly might not have been available today. He's probably fast. I think Joe Kelly has already pinch run once this year. But, you know, so there's a lot of things he could have done. But in the end, his goal was to get Albert Pujols' spot to home plate. And pinch running for him was the best choice, and he went with Beatty. And you know what? It worked. Beatty scored. All in all, it just meant that A.J. Pollock ended up striking out. So, yes, Frank, I do sometimes disagree with Dave Roberts. And most of the time when I do, my instinct is to think, huh, I wonder if there's something he knows that I don't. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad approach to life.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say that there's only two times I've ever disagreed with Dave Roberts, but hindsight's always 20/20. You know,
No, that's the two times that I'm sure that he went with a much less probable decision. There's other ones that I didn't like that I would have done things differently. I remember going with Chris Taylor over David Freese in a pinch hitting spot a couple of years ago, and people didn't like that. You know, there's things that I would have done differently, but those are the two that I can say I'm positive that he made the wrong decision there.
Either way, I know he, for me, he's made wrong decisions other times, but it don't matter. The other part is Beatty did come up later in the game and almost hit into game-ending double play, or at least a double play in the ninth inning. Not game-ending, but double play in the ninth. So, you know, might have not worked out anyways. Yeah. All right, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the Dodgers getting run on by other teams. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. But they do not only have baseball. You can get NBA, NHL, for as long as those last. They're both in the finals. UFC, MMA, boxing. They have poker. They have racing, horse racing. They have a bunch of stuff on there. Go to BetOnline. Check it all out. You can find different ways to bet money or to try and win money, depending how you view betting. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out everything they got. They're always having sign-up bonuses, contests. There's just plenty of different ways to go to win some money. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game. Right now, if you go to the BetOnline and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit. That's BetOnline, promo code LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Jeff, so we've talked about this before, but it came up prominently again in yesterday's game. The Dodgers pitchers continue to not do well in terms of holding on runners. The Marlins appeared to have a plan to run on Walker Buehler, because not only did guys that were fast or faster than average run on Walker Buehler, but they even had a player get his first career stolen base off Walker Buehler. So is this an issue that really needs to be addressed, or just kind of something that's the nature of the Dodgers having good pitchers and maybe they don't focus on this all the time?
Yeah, I mean, Garrett Cooper stealing a base is definitely an issue. It's not something that should ever happen. But, you know, overall, the solution to giving up stolen bases is to not let as many guys get on base. But every pitcher allows base runners almost every game. And so you do want to limit the stolen bases. Starling Marte is a great base stealer. He always has been. And so him stealing a base wasn't that big a deal. But then Garrett Cooper doing it, and then Joe Panik doing it. I think Joe Panik is 108 years old. It's surprising he's not on the Giants anymore, because he's the same age as all those guys on the Giants. So that was kind of weird, those two guys. And yeah, all in all, I feel like to the extent that they can do anything, they do need to work on that. Will Smith has a great arm, and it's really sad when his pitchers don't give him a chance to throw anybody out. And you saw they tried to steal again. Going first move on a right-hander was kind of interesting. That Walker Buehler picked off Sanchez, maybe, I think.
Jazz.
Oh, that's right, Jazz Chisholm. Just going first move on a righty. So, they definitely plan on stealing a bunch of bases. And, you know, Buehler is susceptible to that. Bauer even more. We won't see that for a while, probably. Obviously, Kershaw and Julio are good at holding the runners. I don't know about Gonsolin. I don't know if we have enough data on him this year. But then several of the Dodgers relievers are, you know, Trinan and Kenley are both notoriously easy to steal on. It's a... I would think at least the starting pitchers need to put a little focus, because it's not like you have to go out and develop a better pickoff move. It's, you know, throwing over, keeping an eye on a guy, varying up your, you know, delivery time. We saw a few weeks ago, it was Trinan pitching, and I can't remember who was on. Oh, LeCastro. Trinan pitching and LeCastro trying to steal second, and they threw him out because Trinan held the ball just a little bit longer, varied up his timing, and, you know, focused on getting the ball delivered a little bit quicker, and they got it. And LeCastro is an excellent, excellent base stealer, one of the best ones in the league. And so it shows that it can work. You're not going to get them every time, but I do think guys like Buehler and, you know, Trinan and Jansen should probably do need to at least spend a little time thinking about those little strategies that don't take a lot of effort, just little things you can do to control the running game a little bit and put Will Smith in an opportunity to use his great arm to throw somebody out.
I don't remember, well, it's definitely different now, but might have been whenever he last caught, there was a stat, I think Juan Toribio tweeted out that Smith was throwing out 25% of runners, which was the highest in his career, which was one interesting because he's always had a good arm, and it seems that pitchers this year for the Dodgers have been a little more relaxed when runners are on base and getting great jumps off them. But that just shows how good Smith's arm is, because imagine if he had Austin Barnes' arm, and that wouldn't work out that well either. And then the other part, I mean, just specifically for yesterday's game, was one short hop Lux. It's one that you probably should come up with, or at least stop. The runner ended up going to third because the ball went into center field. The ball was there if he had just, you know, been able to pick it and tag at the same time. He was out by a good amount. So just little things like that that, you know, Lux will probably learn next time. Stop the ball. Even if you don't get the out, stop the ball. Don't let the runner go to third, especially when there's less than two outs. But little things like that. And then, yeah, on the pitcher's side, you know, I think Walker Buehler yesterday specifically was just kind of, he was frustrated by a lot of things that happened, and them running wasn't helping. And I think he was just trying to focus on the batter and get the out. And it didn't quite work out that way because they were stealing, and then he wasn't getting outs, and then those runners on second were getting cashed in by singles. So it was just a combination of things. But yeah, it's definitely something that they need to work on. It's probably one of the biggest flaws overall that they have, other than, you know, health, which is not really a flaw. It's more of a matter of what happens. So yeah, it's definitely something they need to work on. Jansen has been allowing base runners, but the last couple times he's allowed like two base runners, so he doesn't have to worry about stealing as much, which is, I don't know if that's a strategy, probably not, but it's been working for him because he gets angry and then shuts things down. But yeah, Triden, you could tell he worked on it, like you said, with that one with LeCastro. The Dodgers won't have to see LeCastro anymore. He's with the Yankees, so that's kind of a good thing, at least on that end. But
not till the World Series, yeah. Right? The Yankees are going to the World
100%.
Series?
They are on top of the world right now.
I've heard they're great.
Top of the world right now. But yeah, I mean, if teams notice this, and teams with any decent amount of speed, like the Padres, you know, I don't think the Marlins will be in the playoffs, but other teams that can see this will make it a point to try and go that way, because there's not that many ways to beat the Dodgers, but that is a way to help you try and beat the Dodgers.
Yeah, I do wonder how much the umpire, Mike Michalinski, got into Buehler's head. Because it did seem like he was frustrated with the umpire, and that may have contributed to that inning spiraling out of control, which, you know, hopefully is something that, if it did contribute to it, hopefully some combination of Buehler and Pryor and Roberts have identified that and are working on that for the next start, because the fact is sometimes you're going to have bad umpires. This guy was really bad, and I can imagine how that would be very frustrating as a pitcher. But you can't let that cause an inning to derail.
Yeah, that was another thing I did notice is, you know, Buehler, other times it's not always umpires, just kind of, when you get to Buehler, it's usually not like death by 100 cuts or whatever. It's not like a picket fence where you're getting an inning. It's usually one kind of big inning when you get to him, and it just kind of snowballs. So that is probably something, you know, he's by nature, he's a competitive, fiery guy. And when things don't go his way, or things, you know, get out of control a little bit, you can tell that he's visibly frustrated. I'm sure it's something that he doesn't want to happen, but it does end up happening. So, you know, he's always working on it. And, you know, for the fact of the matter is, after that one playoff game against the Braves, it's never really happened in the playoffs. So in regular season, I'm cool with it, since he seems to bear down in the playoffs.
Yep. So,
yeah. Anything else, Jeff? We're coming up toward the end.
Yeah, I think we can wrap this up. If you haven't seen it on Twitter yet, go ahead and Google or do a Twitter search for Padres fan Booger, I think. you know, he's wearing the poop and pee uniform. Might as well add boogers to the mix. So,
yeah, definitely was a little hungry there. So, yeah, check that out. Make sure.
Happens to the best of us.
that'll do it for today's episode. Make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell Dodger fans in your life that there's a podcast for them and they should listen to it. If you want to get a hold of us, the DMs are open on all the social media accounts. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Amperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, you can do so at 323-863-LOCK. That's 5625. Or send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Today on the Locked On Today podcast, what's the key for the Suns in the NBA Finals? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
Say D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!